Yeah, so that's where he's at. He's been there to mold around the jail.
Energy, Finance, Conference Committee will come to order. Good morning. We are going to wrap up this bill very quickly this morning. Well, we don't have a lot of time. We have a few amendments that we need to discuss, and then once those are resolved, we will do the whole spreadsheet and go through that. But we just want to make sure we have the correct language to match up. So I know Representative Hansen has an amendment on wetlands. Should we start with that?
Yes. Madam Chair, last night I inadvertently left out a couple provisions. I would like to move lines on page R131, lines 102.28, 102.29. That's the repealer. And section 126 on page R125.
And Representative Hansen, these are technical.
These are technical.
Additions. Okay. On the motion, is there any discussion, any questions? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, none. Motion prevails. Thank you. Do we have the shoreland management amendment? Okay. Senator Chaudhry.
A54.
Madam Chair,
Representative Dill.
Yeah, Senator Chaudhry last night, did you move?
I'm sorry. We should have him. Would you just withdraw that amendment for now, Senator Chaudhry? And we'll get back to that as time permits.
Okay.
We can't do that first.
Okay.
Senator Chaudhry withdraws the
amendment. I'll withdraw that, Madam Chair. I will withdraw that, Madam Chair, but in all fairness, we left off with this last night, and in all fairness, we should begin with it today, but I will withdraw it. And
thank you.
Presume we will be getting back to this amendment.
We're going to try. We're going to go as fast as we can.
I wasn't trying to stop it. I just thought procedurally.
No, thank you. No, procedurally, you're correct. Okay, on the shoreland management, Senator Chaudhry.
Madam Chair, this is an issue that was discussed extensively in the Senate surrounding our shoreland policies. The department has testified that we do need to update our shoreland regulation rules. The question is just when. And the bigger question is how much will it cost? And so this amendment would follow the spreadsheet that allows that asks the DNR to begin that rulemaking next year, and then the spreadsheet also gives them the money that they indicated in their fiscal note that would be needed to do this rulemaking.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, and it will be reflected in the spreadsheet if we adopt this amendment. We were able to find room in the budget for the rulemaking. Representative Dill.
Thank you. So, Madam Chair, on the spreadsheet that I have, the one that we were working with,
sure if it's in that version. We have a new version that's on its way.
But it's listed as shoreland rulemaking and $500,000 in each year.
Yes, and it would just be for the biennium. We don't have tails for it, so
tails.
We're hoping they can do this in 2 years. If not, we'll have to come back and try to figure that out 2 years from now.
Madam Chair, I'd support the amendment.
Excellent. Any other discussion on the A54 amendment? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Thank you, members. Okay, the third issue I need to explain. Last night we worked very hard to find a compromise on some difficult issues, including the venison donation program. The language we did adopt or agree to, we talked about our agreement, what it was last night. And we haven't adopted that language yet. I would like to propose an additional change to that which I think would make the Senate feel 100% comfortable with this compromise, and that would be to delay the effective date of the $1 bonus tag or license, whatever you call it, the bonus $1 surcharge, just delay that for 1 year so that instead of being effective this July, it would become effective July 2008 in time for the 08 hunting season and for the purchase of those licenses in 2008, and to fill that hole for 1 year with general fund dollars to the tune of about $160,000, I think. We've also... Representative Wagini has had a concern about another issue, which the Senate has agreed to on a forestry study, which has been part of this discussion as well. So I understand that we had an agreement last night, I did, with Representative Hansen, and I support that, but I would ask the House to consider doing this additional change, because I think that will get us to a position that will make the Senate extremely supportive of where we're headed, and provide the comfort that we need to move forward. So I think that's the extent of the explanation. Representative Dill.
I just want to make sure, Madam Chair, that I understand what we're doing. So this means that in the coming hunting season that this program would be fully in effect, but that the money that would have been generated by the surcharge on the licenses, the $1 on the bonus tags, is no longer for that first year, this coming hunting season, and we're paying for that with general fund, and the following year it becomes effective on the bonus tag, and that, and then the general fund doesn't pay.
Correct. That's absolutely correct. And so this year, on the effective date of July 1st, we would have funding from the voluntary donation piece, the out-of-state hunting license surcharge, and the general fund. Those three together would get the program started this year and make it effective for 2007. And then in 1 year, the additional $1 surcharge would take effect. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And we would use the House language on how it works so we can protect the Pittman-Robertson dollars.
Yes, Representative Hansen, absolutely so. And perhaps we should do the amendment now. If we could have the language passed out, please. All right, Mr. Knopf or Representative Hansen.
Madam Chair, I would encourage members to support the amendment.
Thank you. Mr. Knopf?
Madam Chair, I'll just quickly explain. This modifies several of the sections from the House side to include the donation program. And you'll see on page 2 of the amendment, it's on page 3. On 3.1, beginning March 1, 2008, fees for bonus licenses to take deer firearms must be increased by a surcharge of $1. And it does have the venison distribution process from the House side. There's also a blank appropriation for transfer to the special revenue fund and appropriated under that section. And this doesn't have every one of the sections, so if you adopt this amendment, then you'll also need to go back, and there's some things that weren't changed from the House side. And we'll just adopt all of the venison deer license surcharge language from the House side in addition to this, because there were things that weren't being modified. I just put in here the things that were being modified where there were language changes.
All right. Is there discussion on the A52 amendment? Does everyone understand this? All right. I appreciate everyone's teamwork in getting this to a really, really great compromise that we can all support strongly. On the amendment, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. And then shall we move Representative Hansen to incorporate this into the conference report? Do we need to do that? Or is that already?
Madam Chair, I think that your first motion on this part is done. That's going to be in the conference report. Okay. But you also, on R77, you need to adopt the $5 surcharge. because you've adopted that whole section 47 and R77 in the set aside except for paragraph B. So now you need to adopt paragraph B, which is 41.32 to 41.34 in the Senate side. And Madam Chair, you also need to adopt 60.4 to 60.8 on the House side on page R79. That's the venison donations.
It's very important.
Okay. Representative Hansen?
I would move those provisions.
Does everyone understand that oral amendment? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Now, did we need to incorporate the first amendment into the conference report, the shoreland management?
I don't want to get too lost in motions here. I think if you adopt an amendment as a conference committee, it's in the conference report.
Okay. Let's just say that it is. Yep. Okay. Representative Wagenius has a couple of amendments. Yes.
Should we start with this one?
Sure.
Let me ask folks to. Do you want to start with this one?
Whatever you want. It doesn't matter.
Oh, I need to find it.
Okay. I'll get this to you.
Okay.
We have had some discussions, members, about
the A80, excuse me, A80 amendments.
Right.
First.
And I'm going. I have a couple of amendments to this. So when you get it, so you'll know that.
I got it.
We have had some discussions, members, about the expenditure of public dollars on private lands when we are in a situation where we have very, very limited public dollars and are not fully funding some of the basic functions of the DNR, and I would put trails up as an example. But working in that spirit of compromise and members wanting to spend some money on private lands and addressing the outcomes issue along with that, I am going to propose the amendment A80. And council is going to give us an oral amendment, and then I would like to give you one. Mr. Helen.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Madam Chair and members, in three sections in the bill in the House language, it's on R23, line 1834, R23, line 1932, and R27, line 2034, we would delete public where it appears in those lines, so it would include public and private lands both. And then on the amendment itself, on line 1.7, after outcomes, we want to insert comma, including acres of.
All right, does everyone understand?
And deleting on, including acres of wetlands and prairie grasses, and also on line 1.12, after outcomes, comma, including acres of, and delete the on.
All right. Council has that on both. Mr. Knopf, you have that?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay. So, Representative Wagenius will incorporate that in her amendment. Do you have anything else to add?
No.
Representative Wagenius? Okay.
I'm glad to take questions.
All right. With those changes incorporated, we appreciate this accommodation. Senator Frederickson.
Madam Chair, I appreciate the House being willing to do this on private lands because, like I say, just very briefly, in western Minnesota, where a lot of the duck habitat is and where a lot of pheasants are raised, you look at the list, look at the amount of public lands, total public lands that are in some of those counties, including highways, the amount of public lands is less than 1%. Some of it is 2 or 3%, very different from northern Minnesota. So to provide that habitat and to have that large enough area of habitat so mallard hens will nest in those areas and pheasants, we need to be able to do work on private lands, and I appreciate that.
Thank you. Great. Thank you, Senator Frederickson, and thank you, Representative Wagenius. On the A80 motion as amended, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Representative Wagenius.
Yes, we have a second amendment, and if it's to be passed out, and this is the A53 amendment, and as we were working to have as much dollar spread as fairly as possible, one of the things that did not get funded on the spreadsheet is the Forest Resources Council's money to do a study of fragmentation. However, we do know that the LCCMR has funded a statewide plan to be done by the University of Minnesota. And so we are asking the University of Minnesota to include that provision, that work, in its statewide plan. And we are giving them an additional $40,000 in the first year to do that. We have talked to the LCCMR about their statewide plan. We know they will be coming back also for additional money to work on the statewide plan, and that's certainly someplace I am more than willing to accommodate them when they have very specific needs. So with that, I would move A53.
Okay, thank you very much, Representative Wagenius. Again, a good solution to find a compromise, and I think this will be a very good way to get this important information. All right, is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. If I may, I have a very a small amendment I'd like to offer on behalf of Senator Erickson Ropes. If we could have this passed out and ask someone to move it on my behalf since I'm chairing, but I will explain it. This is a bill that passed the Senate floor, and where is it in the House? It's in committee? Or? Okay. It's it allows the city of Winona to do a renewable energy facility, and the only issue was to allow them to do that and to sell the power back to the local utility, I believe, and Senator Erickson Ropes assures me that, and this was what we heard this in the Energy Committee, we passed this on the floor, it's all agreed to and worked out with the local utility, there's no controversy, it's just run into a deadline issue in the House, so I think it's a non-controversial piece that I would appreciate if members would support.
Madam Chair, I'll move the amendment.
All right, thank you. Senator Frederickson moves adoption of the language. Does anyone need an explanation beyond what I've said? Representative Hilty.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just wondering who the House author of this bill was.
Senator Erickson Ropes, why don't you come up to the table just for 1 minute, and we'll...
Three different ones. When you get to the spreadsheet, I want to tell people to stay seated and have the pages distributed, then you can enjoy it. I have that crazy family.
Good plan. Good plan. He's a good plan. We've got to hand out the spreadsheet.
Yeah, rather than throwing them at the table.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. I believe it's Representative Ken Schemper carrying it.
Tell us how it's going to work.
As the chairwoman said, this is a non-controversial bill. We've heard it in many committees on the Senate side. There's been no opposition. We're working with the utility companies. It's a consensus bill, and it's passed the Senate floor. It just got hung up against deadlines in some of the committees on the House side.
Representative Hilty, are you comfortable with that? Or?
Well, Madam Chair, I was just wondering, this obviously would have been a bill that should have come to my committee in the House, and I was not familiar with the bill at all. My understanding is that it was referred to the local government committee in the House and failed to get a hearing there. I don't know if that was a deadline issue or if there was some issue with this. Why I was curious.
All I know is we had a hearing on it in the Energy Committee. I serve on that committee. It was non-controversial and broadly supported as it was in the Senate. So I'm not sure what happened. Maybe did you say the House author was?
I believe it's Representative Schemper.
So it was possibly just a new member who had trouble getting a hearing on a bill. But I think it's important policy that I hope we can accept.
Madam Chair, it's a very narrowly prescribed bill. It only has to do with giving Winona County permission to set up a wind turbine. And then it was discovered as the county was going through the process. Cities have the authority to set up wind turbines, and school districts do. The county was moving forward with a plan to put a turbine up and realized they did not have statutory authority to do that. So we've been working with the electric companies to make sure that we can do that. It's just for Winona County.
Well, Madam Chair, I won't object to this amendment, but I would like to point out that there isn't any definition in this amendment of renewable. You may recall in our working on the Rock 10 issue, that's always a significant issue, and it's totally absent from this.
That's a very good
point. So I would say this is not a very narrowly crafted amendment or bill, as the case may be, which is why it would have been nice to hear it in my committee in the House.
I wonder, I know we can't spend more than one more minute on this, so I wonder if it's we could do a little amendment on the fly that would just say a renewable electric power generation facility consisting of a wind turbine or something to that effect. Would that help? I think you raise a very good point, Representative Hilty. Senator Frederickson.
And I wasn't entirely on the conversation, but on line 1.7, it does say renewable electric power.
But I think, Senator Frederickson, Representative Hilty makes the point very, very well that the whole Rock 10 debate I've had in my community has been about, is it going to be garbage? Is it going to be municipal solid waste? Is it going to be biomass? And the difference matters, and the House and Senate was very careful, in particular in the House, in defining exactly what we meant by a renewable energy facility so that it was something that was supported at the local level and intended by the parties. And so I think that that's a very good point that Representative Hilty is making, that this is so wide open it could be something that wasn't agreed to.
Madam Chair, and Senator Erickson Ropes, and it is a wind generator that they're,
yes, sir,
they want this for?
A lot of places. Madam Chair, if you want to, there are a number of places where that phrase occurs in here. What you could do is just delete renewable and insert wind turbine. It would be a wind turbine electric power generation facility.
I think that's a good suggestion.
In each place, and I've found four of them so far.
Madam Chair, I would incorporate that into my amendment.
Representative Hilty, does that help?
I think that would be a good solution, Madam Chair.
Senator?
Thank you very much.
Great. All right. Well, I appreciate everybody trying to help Senator Erickson Ropes and her community at the on the fly here. Okay. All right. Any further discussion? Hearing none on Senator Frederickson's motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, none. Motion fails. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Committee.
Representative Wagenius?
Yes. Madam Chair, if I could make a technical amendment to one of my amendments, I think I'm suffering from a huge lack of sleep here because I should have picked up something. When we, on the public-private, instead of saying prairie grasses, I should have said native prairies. And the reason is you don't want just grasses. You want to be able to plant forbs in as well. And this is just my suffering from a lack of sleep. If that is all right to amend that.
Okay. So does everyone understand Representative Wagenius' oral amendment? Is that clear?
Is it, Madam Chair?
Senator Chaudhry.
On two spots.
Where was that?
This A80 amendment.
On lines 1.7 and 1.12. Instead of saying prairie grasses, say native prairies, just so we can expand what could be planted. That's all.
Madam Chair, when you're referring to prairie grasses, if you are doing prairie grasses, you would like them to be native prairie grasses.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Well, it's native prairies or native, but no, what I was trying to say, it's not just grass. We want to make sure that you're putting other things in it. So if we could say just native prairies.
It's so minor.
Perhaps Senator Frederickson.
Ms. Chair, Representative, I'm a little concerned about getting it too narrow. I wonder if you accomplish the same thing by saying prairie grasses and forbs.
Okay. That works better. Thank you.
Okay, so Representative Wagenius moves to amend and insert the words prairie grasses
and
forbs and delete.
Just add the words.
Correct.
Forbes.
In those two spots.
A more elegant solution. Thank you.
Okay. Does everyone understand the oral amendment? There's no further discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
There's no motion fails. Representative Hilty, you have an amendment on Manitoba Hydro?
I do, Madam Chair, if you wish to take that up at this time. That's the A70 amendment. Madam Chair, I'm sure that all of the members of the committee, as well as probably all of the members of the audience, are aware that this has been a point of some contention for this conference committee. And what this amendment does, I believe, is achieve as much agreement as it is possible to achieve on this issue. One of the concerns that Xcel Energy had in the language as it appeared in the House bill was that they thought it was asking them to do things that they wouldn't be able to do and might be exposed to some liability as a result of that. And also, there's the question of why a private entity should be involved in the middle of what really is an issue between governments. And so what this amendment does is relieve Xcel Energy of the responsibility of gathering the information that was asked for and instead ask the Legislative Electric Energy Task Force to undertake that task.
Thank you very much. Senator Chaudhry.
Madam Chair, Representative Hilty, and I'm a new member to the Electric Energy Task Force. What is my punishment if I don't do this?
Madam Chair.
No more trips to
Senator
Nevada?
Chaudhry. The next trip to Yucca Mountain, we will not be invited.
Okay. One-way ticket.
I think I do. Seriously, Madam Chair, Representative or Senator Chaudhry, I do believe this is an issue that's appropriate for the task force to take up. It doesn't presuppose any conclusions, but insofar as possible to deal with this, I think this is the appropriate body.
And Madam Chair, Representative Hilty, it reinforces the testimony from Manitoba Hydro themselves that they do agree that Minnesota is interested in this issue. Excuse me, the testimony was that from Manitoba Hydro was they agree that Minnesota has stated that they are interested in this issue. So this is more consistent with what the even Manitoba Hydro testified to.
We struck.
Madam Chair, I think that's an accurate statement.
Right.
I wouldn't say that beyond that they actually agree to anything.
Right.
Representative Hilty, again, I appreciate the spirit of compromise in which this is offered.
Madam Chair.
Is there any further discussion? Does everyone understand the amendment? On the A70 amendment, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. At this time, I just want to make a brief comment. We don't have much time, and I know we have a few more amendments we want to get to. But I think it's important to say before we do the spreadsheet that Representative Wagenius and I and other members of the conference committee on both sides have spent quite a lot of time working with the governor's staff and working with agency heads as well in terms of trying to find compromises to get a bill passed that everybody can support. And to go through a short list, we had a pretty long list given to us by the governor's staff of things that they had concerns about. And I think that this conference committee has made compromises and reached accommodation on virtually all of those. And you will see on E85, we're going to make an accommodation in our spreadsheet that will come out soon to show that we We recognize that was a very high priority to have more funding in that. We recognized on biomonitoring that it was important for the governor to have that out of general fund rather than the environmental fund. And we also asked Senator Sieben and Representative Bunn to correct some issues with the language and their negotiations with the Department of Health. That has been done. On Manitoba Hydro, we have accepted an amendment that was agreed to by the governor's office as well as the other parties. Two other things that we haven't acted on, but I assume there will not be a motion to accept, would be House provisions from Commerce relating to auto glass and no fault. Representative Wagenius has come up with a solution on the issue of public and private lands. There's other things that are not being offered that were specifically asked that we do not incorporate into this conference committee, other issues. That's part of a very long list of issues that we were asked to deal with to reach an accommodation with the governor. We're frustrated that we haven't gotten anything that I consider a commitment in return. But we're going to hope that we have good faith in return, and we're going to count on that, that in all the work that we've done to reach an accommodation and to respect the wishes of the governor, that we get the same respect in return and get a bill that's signed and without line item veto. So that's what we are hoping for, members, and we have to vote without that commitment, but we're hoping that we have good faith in return and that we've done our very best to reach more than halfway on these issues and on many others as well. Representative Wagenius, anything you want to add to that?
I think it's time that we do the spreadsheet, and after that, I think we should both add that.
All right. Representative Dill and then Osmond.
One place in the bill on our 27, on line 20.34, I sense that we have a similar problem with the heritage enhancement funds, the way the House language is written, and I think, didn't we adopt that language? Isn't that public? Doesn't that limit the departments? Isn't that the same problem as the other instance? What happened?
If I can do that.
Representative Wagenius.
Yeah. Yes. We've gotten a note from Deputy Commissioner Myers that he would just like to put a they want to strike land so they can also use money for aquatics. And I think that's an acceptable notion.
So the public?
That's been done.
That has been taken out already?
Yes.
Okay, so then I would move then?
Move yes,
that
you
we
may.
Strike lands?
Yes.
Pardon me?
Senator Fredrickson.
And Chair, Representative Dill, I think on line 34 you wanted to delete the last comma. Yep. And on lands.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Gets us there.
All right. Does everyone understand that amendment? On the motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Again, we aim to please and we try to compromise around here. And I think that's a good thing, and it's good for all of us to try to work together. But we certainly hope that we can have a bill that's strongly supported by the governor as well. Representative Osmond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And on that point, I personally want to thank the chairs for really attempting to work with the administration and kind of getting things put together well. I want you to know from my past experience as being a chair of the Finance Committee in 4 years, I've never been able to get a promise from the governor's office to not veto something. So that's not a partisan thing. It's just kind of their thing. But when you really work with them, like we've demonstrated, like you've demonstrated, I think that our chances are very good of having an approved bill.
Thank you, Representative Osmond. All right, I think we should go through the spreadsheet, explain that, adopt the spreadsheet, and then have a few minutes left for last-minute amendments. And Senator Chaudhry, you're first in line. I know you've been waiting. And except I have a little amendment, too, that will take less time. So maybe you're second in line, actually. All right, spreadsheet. We ready to go?
No.
In fact, while they're being passed out.
If you would be sitting down,
never mind.
Please.
I was going to offer my amendment. Go ahead. No.
Please sit down.
Oh, we have a suggestion. Everybody, take your seats, take a deep breath, let's be quiet and calm, and we will deliver them to you personally. I think that'll make things move more smoothly and quietly. So, sorry, I forgot to say that. Our pages will bring them to you right now. Okay, so you don't have to knock each other down.
Madam Chair, is tipping accepted?
Pardon me?
Is tipping accepted?
Bribing? No, not bribing.
Okay.
Maybe while it's being passed out, can I just explain my little amendment, and then we'll get to yours. This is a very small piece that I forgot. This was in Senate File 1312. Is that the right number, 1312? Senator Sodvier's, Shad Reese. Oh, tiredness is hitting me. Okay, can you just pass this out real quick? Let's just do this really quickly, please. This is about Railroad Prairie right-of-way. We worked hard to eliminate the fiscal impact of this bill. There's a long whole story I could give about how railroad right-of-ways are a critical part of our efforts to preserve native prairie across the state. It's really quite phenomenal how much protecting this can help preserve what native prairie we have left, and all we want the DNR to do is get some of those metal posts from Menards and put them in the ground, and with the help of the railroad maintenance of way folks. And so I would ask members to adopt this. I think it's non-controversial. Representative Hansen.
Madam Chair, I had the companion on this, so I'd encourage folks to support it.
Thank you very much. So if I may, members, if there's no questions, Representative Hansen, why don't you move it, if you would? Thank you.
I would move the amendment.
Is there any discussion? Senator Chaudhry.
Just a grammatical, Madam Chair, on line 27. Commissioners shall work with private individuals and groups to cause to be erected markers. At either end, what do we mean to say there?
I think, Senator Chaudhry, this is, it's a little inartful, but it's intentional because we didn't want to say that the DNR has to do it. We're going to try to get them to work with these volunteers and the maintenance away employees who are the ones who brought this to us. They
as long as we know what we're doing.
Care about this. So it's a cooperative effort.
All right.
That's what that's attempting to capture. All right. On the motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. Thank you very much, members. All right. Now we'll turn to our fiscal analysts. Who wants to start? Mr. Mueller.
All right. Madam Chair and members, the spreadsheet is...
It's kind of tough to move markers to there.
Can we have quiet in the room?
Members, if everyone has a spreadsheet, I'll start out. The two columns we'll focus on is conference minus Senate and conference minus House, right down the middle. And that shows the differences from what this proposal is compared to what the House or Senate brought in. And basically the way this spreadsheet is structured, this is just change items. And for each agency, we list the general fund's change items first and then the... or the other funds second. First off, we have Clean Water Legacy. The number here is the House number plus the endocrine disruptor money that's been rolled up into that, the grant money. Next, we have compensation adjustment. This number, all the compensation adjustments are at 3%. So that number is a little bit higher than the House and lower than the Senate. We are not doing general fund for green fleets. The plasma torch at 400, the air emission studies at 300, and then the environmental health tracking. You want to note there is $1 million per year general fund, and then the tails is 500 per year. And then we have the endocrine disruptor study at 88. Non-general fund, the maintenance level of air programs was a governor's initiative. The green fleets is all down in line number 26 now, which is how the House had it structured, and then we adopted language basically prioritizing school buses already. So that's $1.2 million per year of environmental fund. SCORE grants is $1.5 million per year. That was a governor's initiative. And then we have ethanol mining and permitting at $3 million per year. And then we have the Department of Health monitoring at $52,000 per year. That was the governor's an item out of remediation. The point of use evaluation, we're using the Senate language, which didn't designate a specific amount of money. So we have the general fund change, or agency total is 56.925. And at the end of the last page, there's general fund subtotals again for each agency. On to Minnesota Zoo, there's $250,000 with the per year of ongoing general fund money. That was in all proposals. We've decreased the one-time supplement of down to $125,000 per year. That's one time. And then the compensation adjustment, again, is at 3%. The lottery in lieu will be permanent, not one time. Down to DNR, minerals management, we're taking the House position of using and not turning it over to the general fund. Land asset management, $500,000. Now, these are all general fund, $500,000 per year, 08-09 only. The easement requirement, $15,000. That was the House position. Compensation adjustment is the 3%. Clean water legacy, the $4.5 million was the Senate amount. Let me see, the clean water reallocation within the governor's numbers is not a part of this. Red River ring dikes, $75,000 per year, but we had to make that one time. The Red River mediation, $100,000 per year, ongoing. Rapidam Dam feasibility study, $60,000 was a House initiative. The ethanol water supply, $500,000 one-time money to help offset some of the costs of the ethanol permitting and mining permitting. The governor's initiative for reallocating general fund into FMIA. That was the negative number there. On line 70, I should get my ruler out here. I'm losing track too. Land records management system, line 71, $500,000 one time. Forest management investments, $1 million per year, but we had to cut that in half in the tails. That's a little bit lower than the governor's initiative. Forest land asset management, we're adding $200,000 per year. That's $300,000 below the request. Sustainable forest reauthorization was a part of both proposals. The first Forest Council resource study we're not doing. It's at zero, but they talked about adding that to the we adopted an amendment that would add that to the other study. $200,000 for the second study. We're doing that. Firewood sales, we're doing that with one-time money. We're making that one time. Silviculture research, $200,000. Disease shade tree, that's the House version of that, making that ongoing. Interpretive services, this is part of the governor's reallocation, that's ongoing. Cuyuna Country, that's House initiative, $10,000. Non-motorized forest trails, this was originally part of the governor's reallocation, $400,000 new into that area, but we had to make that one time. Non-motorized trails, this was the Senate and House initiative, both had new money in there. We're taking the higher number and $750 per year ongoing. Wild and Scenic Rivers was part of the governor's. Did not do the shifting the treaty cost. Environmental Review Coordinator was part of the governor's reallocation. Project Wild was governor's. Did not do the marketing reduction in ecological services. International Wolf Center at $350. Bald Eagle Center at $500. Wildlife Rehab Center at $100. Prairie Seed Harvesting, $125. Mississippi River Critical Areas Report, $500. The Conservation Officer Training at $300 per year. And again, that will reflect the amendment we adopted last night of rolling in the Mississippi Headwaters Conservation Officer. So that's shown as zero, but that will be part of the $300. Wild Rice Quality Board, the House position. Carbon Sequestration Study, we're using general fund, one time, $475,000. That's how the House had it. Southern Regional Planner, neither side did that. Let's Go Fishing, we're making that a general fund appropriation of $175 per year, one time. Invasive Species, we're taking the House position of using general fund money. Prairie Wetlands, $575,000 ongoing. Wildlife Disease Management, pretty much the initial what was brought in, but we had to drop the tails down a little bit to bring us within our tails target. We had to drop it off by 5,000 per year, so 61. It was at 66. Reflecting the amendment we just adopted, the U of M Forestry Planning, 40,000. The Deer Hunter donation startup of 160,000. The shoreland money for adopting shoreland rulemaking, 500,000 per year for 08-09. And then fencing for wildlife, which was, we took this higher number, the Senate number at 54. Non-general fund items in DNR. The House position on minerals management, land records management, that was in both bills, the natural resource fund and game fish fund portion. Now, new initiatives out of the FMIA, the reallocation is the first line. Line 114 is the FTEs for timber sales, forest improvements at $1 million per year, forest road maintenance, $1.1 million per year, and that is one time. Ecological classification, 600 per year. Again, it's ongoing. Invasive species part of the FMIA is 350 per year. Reinventory of state lands at 400 per year. And here is the new item reflecting the amendment that we adopted last night dealing with the timber sales permits of $1.5 million for one-time money out of the FMIA to help pay for that. We did not do the ATV gas tax. The ATV fee increase, we reduced the first year amount that was originally in the Senate bill to help offset what the expected not getting a full year of revenue on the ATV fees based on the effective date on the new fees. Next page. Line 127, 128 is part of the Project Wild, the other Game and Fish Fund and Natural Resources Fund. Part of that invasive species. This is the non-resident fishing surcharge part of it only. Prairie wetlands, this is the game and fish part of the prairie wetlands initiative, but we made this one time to keep the heritage account in balance. Canoe routes from the Senate, Senator Dillon Fredrickson. Maintenance of service is a department initiative. Balsam bows, it was not part of any bill. Forest land use special events was in both bills. Forest resource assessment account is just a fund swap on those next two lines. State park fee increase was governor's initiative. Snowball grant and aid, we're using the house numbers, the higher amount. Ethanol water supply, we're taking that house language that would capture some fees. Here's the deer hunter voluntary line item. You can see we subtracted 160 off the first year. That's to reflect what's coming in off the general fund. And that's just the expected statutory expenditures on that. Let's go fishing. You see that zero here because we paid for it out of general fund above. Again, another maintenance of service to the game and fish. Did not do shift treaty costs. No South Metro Wildlife. We're doing the game and fish fund oversight member that was in the Senate. The motorboat access, that was part of both bills and governor's initiative. Angling hunting recruitment was a governor's initiative. Fishy attorney license fee, governor's initiative. Roadside habitat was on 150 on both sides. Wild rice study was a house position of 38, and then the offset with the not doing the statutory appropriation in game and fish funds. On to metro parks. $750,000 per year ongoing new funding. Minnesota Conservation Corps, $125,000 per year ongoing, $50,000 per year one time for the stipends for the deaf students, interpreters, and yeah. Bowser. Clean Water Legacy is started with the Senate number, but we subtracted off what we added to PCA to meet the House's number on PCA, so this is a subtraction from the Senate number. Drainage work group grants, 300 per year, that was on both sides. The guidelines, 150 per year, that was part of both sides. The grants, 500 one time. The House had that ongoing, but we made that one time. Conservation Act, local grants, again, we made that one time, 500 per year. The Conservation Act staffing, that was on both sides. The plan, 60,000 per year, that was on both sides. The floodplain, 35,000 per year, ongoing, that was from both sides. The two Senate initiatives dealing with bioenergy, from Senator Kibbe's bill, the 500 one time and 200 one time for the grants and the standards. Minnesota River Basin Joint Powers Board, 100 per year ongoing. That was the Senate had 92 per year. The Blue Earth, the $2,000 the Senate had in for the Blue Earth, we adopted some language basically allowing that to be paid out of recaptured money within Bowser. Lake Titlow Watershed would be 200. Operations increase, Bowser, that was part of the governor's initiative, 50,000. Compensation adjustment is the 3%. Science Museum, $500,000 new per year ongoing. Public Utilities Commission, most of those changes were in both bills, are reflecting just additional staffing that the governor had proposed and then some additional staffing based on some other initiatives that have already been passed this year. This is all offset with general fund. They are able to recapture or reassess all this in general fund revenue. Or most of it. Commerce, $200,000 per year for the residential mortgage lending reform. Debt management service regulation, that was on House initiative. The senior team fraud investigation was the governor's initiative. The Vehicle Protection Act was a House initiative, $8,000. Again, there's revenue that offsets some of these items in commerce. E85 pumps, we're at $750,000 one time right now. Compensation adjustment is 3%. The rural wind, using $2 million one time, and I want to make a technical correction here. That should be $1 million in the first year and $1 million in the second year, but no tails. So we just want to spread that two out between the 2 years. The rural wind energy loan, there's no general fund for that. We're using RDF. Mm-hmm. Renewable hydrogen initiative, we're at $5 million, which is half the house amount. Heating assistant grants, we're at $1 million. IRE funding, House had $3 million. We're using RDF. We'll see that on the next page. Geothermal pump, heat pump study, $50,000. Linden Hills demo project, $45,000. Nothing for propane pre-purchase. St. Paul's the Rock 10 at $4.5 million. Electric vehicle demonstration projects, $150,000. And then the University Enterprise Lab, which is a Senate position, for $500,000. Last page, these would be non-general fund items within commerce. The House position on the TAM funds for a commission serving deaf and hard of hearing. We don't have to carry any money for extending the Legislative Electrical Energy Task Force. $300 per year, the House hydrogen refueling stations. And then the House technology payment system at $2.275 million a year. That's all special revenue funds. Now we get down to RDF. The first few lines here, the methane digesters, solar rebate, certs, and hybrid electric vehicle was all in the governor's initiative. The Senate did not have the hybrid electric vehicle, but we're doing that out of RDF. Next gen energy, the House level at $5 million out of RDF. We'll just do it now. Do the rural wind revolving loan, $2 million one time out of the RDF. And then IRE funding for RDF would be $3,009,000, and then there would be $5 million per year in the out years out of RDF. Next, we go down. There's some general fund summaries by agency. See, we've met our target. I just want to make. And then we have revenues down at the bottom where we offset our expenditures. And within PUC, you might have to double-check. There might be a 1,000 or two difference in how we offset the revenues. But I just want to make a note there that we are at an even target right now based on our estimated PUC revenues. It may change by a couple thousand, but we should be okay. And we're at right at our tails target also. You'll see on line 324.
Thank you, Mr. Mueller. The only thing we need to do orally is to move the money into the E85 everywhere. And we agreed right before we came in here to move $125,000 also in the Renewable Development Fund more into the CERTS program to help accommodate for a metro program in CERTS. And do you have all that, where it's all coming from? Do you
want to?
Intending, as we said before, we're trying to accommodate the governor on this, and we'll end up at $1.5 million per year for E85 everywhere. So that one, yes.
I'll do that first. Madam Chair, the first thing we'll do is on line 269, the University Enterprise Lab. We can make where the Senate, the proposal here is for 500. We can make that a zero, and Senator Anderson may want to talk to that, why we can make that zero.
Oh, well, that was a provision that was moved to my bill from the Economic Development Bill, and it's now been moved back to the Economic Development Bill, and so we don't have to fund it. So that's good news. We think Senator Tomasoni is funding that.
And we would move that 500 up to E85, making that 125 for right now, the first year. We need to take another. Let's see how we do this here.
$750,000
out of.
Out of the next year.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I can.
Yes.
So. Yes. That would be out of the Renewable Hydrogen Initiative, which is now at $5 million, mm-hmm. and that's general fund, correct?
Right.
We take $1 million out of that and put that into E85. And then we would take $750,000 more?
Yes.
And then out of
the next gen.
Okay. Out of hydrogen. We would take $750,000 in hydrogen fund $750,000 of hydrogen from the next gen research grants that are in the RDF and move that $750,000 into hydrogen. So hydrogen will be at $4 million. The next gen energy research would be reduced by $750,000, and then that would free up $750,000 more general fund for E85, which would bring us to $1.5 million per year. One-time money for the E85 everywhere. And then we also need to move $125,000 from undesignated Renewable Development Fund dollars into the CERTS program in the Renewable Development Fund.
Correct.
Is that clear, members? I hope so. Representative Osmond?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want you to know that expressing disappointment that we have gone down to that level. We know that the governor had originally requested $12 million for the E85 program. The House, I think, had $4 million. Coming down to this level, I think, is very much less than what we expected from the committee.
Representative Osmond, keep in mind the governor's rec was for 4 years, so it was a rec of $6 million for the biennium, and we have half that. And the governor also had extremely ambitious funding requests in forestry, which we have funded, and in invasive species, which we have funded. I don't believe the governor's budget on clean water was adequate, so we had to do more. That was the Senate's top priority in this bill. And so, you know, we just can't do it all. And I think that this is a pretty good compromise. I hope everybody will strongly support it. I need to make that move those changes, perhaps. We should just vote on that quickly, and then we can have other discussion. On the motion as laid out by Mr. Mueller for the moving of money on the spreadsheet, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails.
No.
I have a question on the spreadsheet.
Senator Chaudhry.
Madam Chair, on page 1, lines 124, 25, and 26. Does the spreadsheet reflect the amendment we passed yesterday on the $100,000 for the local enforcement and the trail specialists.
Mr. Mueller.
Madam Chair, Senator Chaudhry, now that you mention it, no, but we'll change that. It's all just internal within those three lines, but we'll make sure that is reflected.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for pointing that out.
All right, if there's no other questions, I think we should give Senator Chaudhry a chance to move. There's about two or three amendments we're going to try to pass in 3 minutes, and then we have some more technical motions that need to be made.
Madam Chair, I'll renew.
Oh, should we adopt the spreadsheet, though?
Chair, I'll make the motion.
Okay, Senator Frederickson moves adoption of the spreadsheet.
Madam Chair, I would move adoption of the spreadsheet as it was amended, and it's a spreadsheet labeled 10:51 a.m., the 2nd of May.
Thank you. On that motion, Representative Bill?
Question to that point. If we adopt the spreadsheet and then there's another provision offered from the side-by-sides that costs money, we have to go back and re-adopt the spreadsheet.
Well, you have to amend the spreadsheet then.
Right. Okay. So it wouldn't be any point in waiting for that adoption until...
I think we should just adopt it, just in case we run out of time. We know we'll have a balanced budget.
I do.
All right. On the motion, Senator Frederickson's motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Thank you. All right. Senator Chaudhry.
Madam Chair, I renew my motion from last night regarding the DV 72. Except on the DV 72, I will not be proposing to adopt the state the forest traditional areas section. There was some question about the manner of the language, as well as some question about cost, although there was not a fiscal note on our side. So I think this is important to do, but there's enough concern about the way this is written that I'll be willing to withdraw it.
Representative Dill.
Thank you. Well, it's been several times you said there was not a fiscal note on these at least provisions of this amendment, but I'm wondering, Senator Chaudhry, I have a fiscal note on House File 1536 dated March 20th that very in detail discusses the establishment of the traditional areas at a cost of $600,000 and also the GIS mapping at $300,000 that's on your bill. It's dated March 20th. And I'll be glad to pass that over to you. And there are other parts of the bill, particularly regarding the mapping. If Senator Chaudhry is deleting the portion on the traditional areas, that would seem to be resolved, but the mapping portion would still have thereabouts $400,000. At least it appears to me, unless I'm corrected, a $400,000 impact that we would have to show in our spreadsheet or account for it, at least in the spreadsheet.
Madam Chair,
Senator Chaudhry,
this bill went through, this was in Senate File 1312, which went to the Finance Committee, and there was not a cost associated with the traditional areas that we dealt with. So
well, wait,
this is,
Senator Chaudhry, you've taken the traditional areas.
Having said that, we've taken that out.
Let's not even talk about that. We have no time. Right. Members, on the, focus on what's in front of us.
And then on the map trails, we're not creating any mapping on this. We're just saying that people need to, when there is a map, people need to stay on it. So we're not creating any new mapping with this provision. It's just a method by which we can avoid illegal trail making, but at the same time make sure that we stay true to the intent of the managed classification, and that's the flexibility between all the checkerboard land uses.
Madam Chair, I have a question. With regard, so if you took out the traditional areas, that problem goes away. Is that you're amending that amendment?
Correct.
For that? Okay. Sorry, I don't have the question.
All right. Are we ready to vote? Representative Dill.
No. I'd ask the R side, the House side, to vote no.
Madam Chair, I just want to remind the members that we are including the this motion from last night does include the House provision on 4x4s minus Beltrami County.
All right. On the motion, does everyone understand the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
No.
The motion prevails.
Division.
Division's been requested. All those in favor, raise your hand. There are three votes on each side. The motion prevails. Okay, Senator Saxhog, do you have an amendment?
I do. Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a Senator Perzo amendment. It's on R-76, Section 46. And Madam Chair, basically what it does is add trapping to the lifetime license.
45 and 46.
R-45 and 46 are lines.
What? Sections 45. Madam Chair, Sections 45 and 46. And there's just a technical on 41.13 after is insert effective.
Senator Perso asked me at least four times if this was in the bill, so I would like to support this remaining in the bill. Is there any discussion?
Well, Madam Chair, they're virtually Senator identical Ferguson. Except for just one little tweak in the effective date between the House and the Senate.
And which did you move, Senator Saxhog?
We
the
moved
Senate
the Senate.
Position?
Yeah. Moved the Senate, yeah.
All right. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Any further? Senator Chaudhry, I'm going to, sorry, go back and forth here.
Okay. The DV-75.
Things we have to do.
I think we're okay now. Yes, we should make a general. Now, I also have the one time, the members need to know that some of the riders are going to come up in a one.
Madam Chair, this amendment is on the aquaculture provisions that are on both sides of the side-by-side. However, what I will do is just move the full sentence beginning on line 20. That's the only part of this, the DV-75, that I will move.
You'll move, Senator Chaudhry, you're
adopted.
Moving just the one sentence that says by January 15th,
et Correct.
Cetera, shall report back?
Correct. And then on line 21, I would just, after the first policy, insert and finance. So it would be both the policy and finance committees that would receive the report.
Okay.
If I just may make a brief statement, the legislature expects recommendations on aquaculture next year. End of story.
All right. Any discussion on Senator Chaudhry's motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Senator Saxhog?
Yes. Another oral amendment here on an amendment. Madam Chair, it's on R-81, Section 56, the Senate Section 56.
Senator Saxhog?
It deals with off-site portable fish houses. I defer to Mr. Mueller.
Mr. Mueller?
Madam Chair, there's really that section and a portion of another section that we need to adopt.
Madam Chair, it's an R-78, Section 49, Paragraph A. You've adopted paragraph B on R-78, the $2 surcharge, but not the 10% increase in the non-resident licenses. So this would be adopting the language from 42.10 to 42.21 on the Senate side, and then also adopting the fish house provision on R-81, lines 44.16 to 44.23.
Senator Saxhog, are you done with your explanation?
I am. I defer to these two gentlemen. Thank you.
It was an amendment
that was offered, or a bill was offered by Senator Bach.
He just did the study. All right. Any discussion on the House side? Shall we just vote? Does everyone understand the motion? All right. Let's vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Senator Chaudhry, this is your last one, I hope.
Madam Chair, just I don't have this written up, but it's something on the ice. It's a rider on the fishing contest fees.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to move, and chairs can certainly decide if this is in order, that the commissioner may grant a waiver of the contest fee based on hardship if a majority of the proceeds of the contest benefit a charitable purpose. So this is permissive for a waiver and only for a charity.
In the case of hardship.
In the case of hardship.
We can take that oral amendment. You have it written down?
No.
Okay. Does everyone understand it? Is there any discussion? Representative Dill.
The idea of the amendment is fine. However, I'm a little concerned about the hardship. Why wouldn't we just say then that if it's a charitable organization that the commissioner may? But, I mean, now we're putting the commissioner in a position to determine if it's going to be a hardship. In other words, so an organization is near bankruptcy, so they're in a hardship, so we're going to give them a free permit to take resources of the state so that they cannot have bankruptcy. And so I'm saying that if we're going to make it permissive, that they could give this no fee to a charitable organization rather than have the hardship test in there, because I think that might be a difficult task and arduous trying to figure out what is and what isn't.
Senator Chaudhry?
Madam Chair, Representative Dill, if you feel strongly about removing hardship, we can do that.
Well, I just think it's a point of discussion.
That's fine.
Sorry, with you.
I only put that in there because there are actually some charitable contests that are kind of really big. You know, the Randy Moss Invitational, they can probably afford.
Mm-hmm. Senator Chaudhry?
But it's still permissive anyway, so if we can take out the hardship.
Okay. So we'll take out the hardship and then with the understanding of the language as...
Well, Madam Chair, maybe I'll just read it real quick. I think we adopted the House language. We may want to just make sure that we do. On R80, it's Section 71, to delete the receipts collected from this fee should be credited to the Game and Fish Fund, because we don't need that. And then just insert the commissioner may waive the fee under the subdivision for a charitable organization.
Okay. Does that sound good? All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Mr. Knopf, can you tell us any other motions we need to make?
Well, Madam Chair, the only thing I wanted to point out is that there were some riders in the one-time bill that didn't show up in here because they didn't match with anything, but you have adopted the spreadsheet. So the spreadsheet kind of prevails as far as the language that we pick up, so we will be picking up any language and riders from those. I do have copies of the one-time bill here if people want to see what some of those riders are. I don't know if they want to take that time right now. But so I just want to make sure that it's very clear that the staff will, and you should probably make a motion that we will fix up anything that needs to be fixed up as far as to make sure we have the intent of the committee to effectuate that.
Senator Fredrickson.
Madam Chair, I would move that we authorize staff to incorporate the appropriate riders and to make conforming grammatical and technical corrections to the document.
Okay, very good. Does that cover it? Okay. All right, on that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Before we vote, I just want to also add to what Representative Wagini has said yesterday about our extremely grateful we are to our staff,
yes,
who have just gone through incredibly difficult scheduling conflicts and requirements to get this done, and we just appreciate them so much. And I appreciate all the hard work of the members on both sides very much as well.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Knopf.
One quick technical thing that was talked to Senator Chaudhry about. His bill on the off-highway vehicle safety and conservation grant program, the ambassador program, it's broader for groups, but in the rider, and it's been a few weeks, so I don't recall if we had a discussion, but on R32, on 23.19 to 23.20, it says qualifying off-highway vehicle organizations, but we actually allow anybody to qualify, whether they're an off-highway vehicle organization or not, in the statutory language. It may be considered technical. Maybe some people wouldn't. I don't know, but you could strike the word, and I don't know if Senator Chaudhry wants to move that on 23.19 to strike off-highway and 23.20 to strike vehicle, so it would be anybody who could qualify under that statute.
Senator Chaudhry?
And Madam Chair, this would reflect the statutory language that we already have
adopted.
So it would just bring them consistent with one another.
Okay, so
I'll move that.
On the motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Anything else? Do I see any more hands?
Need a motion?
I would like... Thank you. Representative Hilty.
Madam Chair, I was just going to ask if it would be appropriate and necessary at this time to move adoption of the entire conference committee report as amended.
Yes, it would be. That, and Senator Frederickson, I think, was about to make the same motion. Let's do that. Are we ready to vote?
I moved it.
Representative Hilty has.
I merely raised the question.
Okay. Senator Frederickson, would you like to make the motion?
Madam Chair, I would move that the bill as amended and the spreadsheet be formed as a conference committee report and recommend it to pass.
On the motion. Representative, any further discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, none. Motion prevails. Representative Wagenius?
Yes. Once again, a huge thank you to all staff. Unbelievable work to get this huge bill done in so few days. And just to show you how well staff is doing, they have promised folks to post the full spreadsheets on the websites later on today. Amazing.
Yay! Conference committee is adjourned.
All right.